He's a deceiver, and what his desire is to do is to deceive us and to make us not realize what we have and the benefit of what we have. I thank the Lord for what he's given us. I want to talk today, if you will pray with me and pray for me. I want to discuss today a little bit on the flip side of what we dealt with on last Sunday. Last Sunday we talked about success. Today we want to talk about failure. It's an important thing for us to learn, and I think there are some lessons that we can learn in our failures. What I mean by that when I say that, I want to put a disclaimer here, because I believe that we can live, we just sang the song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." I believe we can live a victorious life right here on this side of eternity. Scripture tells us about the grace of God that appears to man, has appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we live righteously, godly, soberly, godly in this present world, right here, not when we get over on the other side. And so I believe that we can live a victorious life from the time that we get saved to the time that we go out to meet the Lord. I want to say that. But I believe that there also are failings. And there are going to be some failures that we have that are not failures that takes us back into sin. That's what ultimately the enemy wants to do. But I believe that there are some things that we can learn from those things. Those things can be motivating factors if we allow them to. We sing a song. Sometimes it's called Press On. It says, "Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove." So when we fail in something, we can learn something from it, right? And it can motivate us for not that particular thing not to happen again. I want us to turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter, and I want to read starting at the 22nd chapter and the 31st verse. Luke 22, verse 31. If you have it, you can read it for us.
Yes.
And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon,
behold,
Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
But I have prayed for thee,
that thy faith fall not,
and when thou art converted,
strengthen thy brothers."
And he said unto him,
"Lord,
I am ready to go with thee,
both into prison
and to death."
And he said,
"I tell thee,
Peter, the cock shall not crow this day
before
that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Now, I want to stop there, because I want to dissect this particular passage of Scripture. It says here, the Lord said, this is not somebody else that said it. So apparently there is some kind of communication in the spirit realm between God, Christ, and the devil, apparently. All right, so I don't know all about it, but we go to Job and we learn a little bit about what happened to Job, and we see the background of that. So here is another situation here where the Lord is saying to Peter, he's saying, "Peter, Simon, Simon." So in other words, he's saying, and when somebody calls your name, that's almost like, in my mind, when your mother calls your first and your middle name, then I want you to listen to me, right? So when he says, when somebody repeats this, Jesus is repeating it to Simon, "Simon, Simon, I want to make certain I have your attention. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, first of all, what we have an understanding is the devil wants you to fail. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Oh, I've been saved for 60 years. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. The devil wants you to trip up and fail before you get into eternity. He wants you to do that. And he's working on that. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how strong you are in the faith. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher. Doesn't matter if you've been a preacher for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. It does not matter. The devil's desire and his design is to make certain that you don't make it to heaven. That's the whole point. Now, any failure, you can fail anywhere on the earth. You can fail in your job. You can fail in school. You can fail in all kinds of things. But you cannot afford to fail to meet heaven. You can't afford to do that. You can't afford to fail to make heaven. You understand what I'm saying? So that's an important thing. If you fail to make heaven, you're a complete failure throughout all eternity. Now, may the Lord help us to understand that the devil doesn't like any of you, any of us. Doesn't like me. He doesn't like me preaching about these kinds of things. But we need to have a clarity and an understanding. Satan has desired to have you that he can sift you as wheat. Now, when we take it into consideration, when we grind up wheat, it's just, you can't discern what it is anymore, right? It just goes in the wind. And so the devil's desire is not just for you to trip up. It's to completely annihilate you. Make certain that you don't have any recourse, that you can't come back for any reason. So he'll try to do it the worst he can possibly do it. He'll do it exactly whatever he can. He will do it to try to stop you from making it to heaven. So we need to know that. That was the first point. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he can sift you as wheat. Now, what we also have to understand in this is Satan has no right in us unless we give him a right. All right. If we go back into Job, we have an understanding where we see the background and the backdrop of what's happening in the spirit world. And the Lord is saying, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? And then he said, well, I can't touch him because there's a hedge about it. And so we understand that the devil wants him. So the devil, there's another scripture you go into the Revelations. It talks about how the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuse him before him both day and night. What that basically means is that the devil has a right. If you have something in your life that the devil has a right to, that it's his, then he has a right to petition you for it. So in other words, I can say whatever it is. If you have this and I give this to brother, what goes along with it? I give this to brother Isaac and I say, this is nothing but a little magic marker or whatever. I can give it to him. I said, as long as you're in possession of this, these are the requirements that you have to have to be in possession of this. So in other words, I can give you something. I can give you fame, fortune, and what, as long as you are in possession of what I've given you, and there are some strings attached to this, I have a right to whatever you have. At any time, I can come back and take this back. At any time, I can come and deal with you. As long as you hold on to this, I can work with you in some kind of a way. So what we have to understand is that the devil, as long as we have something in our heart, a little dishonesty, a little hatred, we're holding a grudge against somebody, we're holding something that belongs to him that is not the Lord's, then he has a right to that particular thing. He has a right to go and claim it. He has a right to claim anybody that is participating in whatever it is, because he's got there. We need to read the fine print. There is something about that thing that the devil can reach in and grab hold of you because you're holding on to something that you shouldn't hold on to. So we need to understand that. So here it is. Peter thought maybe, or perhaps, I don't know what it was, but he went to the Lord and he petitioned him in some kind of way. I believe this is what the Satan did. Went to the Lord and petitioned him and said, he wants to have you, Peter. Yeah. He said, he wants to have you because he knows you're a little bit overconfident in your abilities. You're a little bit overconfident in where you are. You're one of those that will step off the boat into the water and nobody else will do it. Everybody else was smarter than that, but you're the one that's impetuous. You'll do whatever comes to your mind, whenever it comes to your mind. The devil knows that. And there's a little bit of something there that he wants from you. And the Lord says, but. You know, isn't that wonderful? That the devil wants to have you when the Lord says, but. Wait a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to tell you, Peter, what's going to happen. He said, the devil has desired to have you. Number one, I want you to understand that he may sift you, may completely annihilate you, destroy you, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I have prayed for him. You know the Lord's prayed for us as well. The Lord prays for us that we will be faithful and victorious, and we'll have victory in Jesus, that we will not have to fail in anything in our lives. The Lord has prayed for us that your faith fail not, that you be not a failure. You're not going to be like Judas was, that you failed and now you're going out and killing yourself. Because what happened with Peter went out, and what did he do? He wept bitterly after he failed the Lord. All right? But here's the point. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. But when thou art converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. All right. Now, what does that tell you? Number one, he said the devil wants to have you, right? That's number one, that he can destroy you. That's number two, that we understand that we make him put that in one. The devil has a desire to have you and destroy you. Number two is, I have prayed for you. That's wonderful, isn't it? That the Lord prays for it. He said, when thou art converted, what does that tell us? What does that infer? Now, we can see this. Now, we have to understand that Peter is looking at it in real time. He's looking at it before it happens. The Lord is talking about after it happens. He knows what's going to happen. He sees it. Apparently, maybe the devil has the ability to see it too. But he knows what's going to happen. The Lord knows what's going to happen. So he says to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You're going to fail, Peter, in essence. That's what he was telling him. You're going to fail, but because I prayed for you, I'm going to be merciful to you. You're going to be converted back. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to strengthen all your brethren. I want you to go to your brethren. I want you to strengthen them and learn, in essence, what he's saying here. I want you to learn from the failure that you're about to have. And I want you not only to learn from that failure, but I want you to teach your brethren that they don't put themselves in that kind of condition either. All right? Strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now Peter says, oh Lord, that's not going to happen to me. He said, I'm willing. And Peter said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now, what happens here is Peter was extremely confident. All right? So Overconfidence. We can have a lot of confidence in ourselves and our own ability. We can have a whole lot of confidence in that. Well, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm willing to do all of these things that whatever. And I'm not. This is not. And that's just what he's saying to the Lord. That's not going to happen to me, Lord. I'm ready. I'm already, as we say, I'm prayed up. I've already gotten these things together. I don't have to worry about that. But let me tell you. But the Lord says, Peter, you're going to come across some things that you don't quite understand now. They're stronger than you. They're bigger than you. And I pray for you. Not only do I pray for you, you pray for you too. Now, Peter could have said that at that particular time, but the Lord knew that there was a lesson that Peter needed to learn. Do you realize that there are sometimes, have you ever watched your children, and your parents did this, have you ever watched your children and you saw that they were doing something, they were going headlong into something, and you tried to warn them, and they didn't listen, and you know what? I'm going to let you bump your head. Now, I'm going to be here to pick you up when it's all done. I'm going to be here to console you, but I'm going to let you bump your head. And you know what? When they bump their head, they learn the lesson. Sometimes, some of us are so hard-headed that the only way that we can really learn the lesson is for us to bump our heads and to fall and to fail because we're so hard-headed. Now, we don't like to call ourselves hard-headed. We won't call ourselves hard-headed. We won't call ourselves strong-willed. But let me tell you, the only way we learn lessons, I know people like that, that the only way that they learn lessons is to get bopped upside the head. And then once they do that, then they learn. They say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, I've tried over the years in my own experience. I've looked at other people, and I've seen how painful failures are in my own life, and I've seen how painful it is to mess up and whatever. So I look at other people, and this was a tactic that I used for my children. I look at other people, and I said, you know what? Chances are, if they're doing that, and this is the result of it, if I do it, that's going to be the result for me. Now, people think that, I can smoke dope, I can smoke a little joint or whatever, and I'm not going to end up being a drug addict. Well, if you never pick up the first joint, you will never be a drug addict. I learned that. And I don't have to worry about drinking because if I never take the first sip, I don't know. Well, some of us are predisposed. This alcoholism is a disease. And they've got a billboard out here talking about some kind of a drug. It's not your fault. Well, yeah, it is your fault. It is your fault because you picked up it the first time. Unless somebody held you down and poured it down your throat, it's your fault, okay? And you need to understand that. And you need to understand that you need to own up to whatever it is that's happening in your life. You need to own up to it, all right? So if I never take the first, drink, I'll never be a drug addict. I can promise, or alcoholic. Whether I'm predisposed that way or not, I don't know. I don't have to know, right? Because I see too many other people, part of the homeless population here in Sacramento, a good portion of that, I guarantee you, is from taking drugs. This meth is a horrible thing, right? I don't even know why people would want to put it in their bodies, all right? But it's the devil has desired to have you that he can sift you as wheat. But the Lord has prayed for us that our faith fails not, all right? So here is the thing. So first of all, Satan wants to ultimately destroy us. The Lord has prayed for our success. The Lord wants us to succeed. And then the reason that we fail in this situation, the reason that Peter failed is because he was overconfident in his ability. All right? He was the one that was, let's dissect that for a moment. When they came to take the Lord, what did the other disciples do? They left. And you might say, well, they were cowards. But no, you have to understand this. This was Jesus. What was happening? Jesus was going to trial, right? Yeah. He was going to trial. They were taking him. And the Lord, let me tell you, first of all, the Lord went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed three times that he would be successful. Yeah. Now, was it going to be that the Lord was going to fail? No, the Lord wasn't going to fail. He wasn't going to fail. This is his creation. But he understood that he needed to go to the cross for us. What do we sing in the song today? For me, the blessed Savior came. For me, his great salvation to proclaim, oh glory to his precious name, it satisfies my soul. For me, he came to do that, and he understood that. Now, he had at his disposal 10,000 angels that he could have come in and just wiped every one of us off the face of the earth. If he'd done, he was holding himself back. When they came to get him, what happened? When they came to ask in the garden, they came to get him, and Judas came to kiss him, and he stepped forward, what happened? All of them fell back. There was power there, wasn't it? It was enough power to make them fall on the ground. Then if that was enough power, the Lord had prayed that it be restrained. If you're going to allow me to say it like this, he prayed that it be restrained so that he could successfully go to the cross and not call down angels to rescue him out of the situation, or not come down off the cross. However you want to say it, the Lord knew that we needed him to die on that cross. But here's Peter saying, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to go to the prison with you. I'm willing to die. And I believe in his mind, he truly was willing to do that. But what we have to understand, it's not just a mental thing. It's something I've got to have in the depths of my heart. I've got to be in that place. Now, here is what Peter's problem was. It was Jesus' trial. It wasn't Peter's. All right? The rest of the disciples, you can call them whatever you want to, they ran. But Peter followed afar off. Peter shouldn't even have been there, as far as I'm concerned. Because what happened is that because of Peter's overconfidence, he's going to watch. He's going to see. That's his personality. And can we say anything? We all have personalities. All of us have different personalities, right? And all of our personalities are not the same. We're going to have to ask the Lord to help us. Some personalities grate on each other, right? Some of us do, right? Let's not pretend that it doesn't exist. It does. All right? And so here's Peter, one of those personalities. All of the disciples had various personalities, and they all said, you know what, I don't think that I'm there. I don't think that this is where I need to be. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to find some place to pray, and I'm going to weep. Maybe I failed the Lord and not standing with him, whatever. But it was the Lord's trial. And do you know, sometimes we can put ourselves in positions of somebody else's trial. We can put ourselves in positions that gets us in trouble. And his failing was not because it was his trial that he was going through, that he failed in his own trial. He failed because he was in, had his nose into somebody else's business. Lord help us. And you know what gets us in trouble and what causes a great many failures is because we feel like we're smart enough, strong enough to poke our nose into somebody's and what doesn't concern us. And if we're not careful, we'll do it all too often. That may just be my personality. You know, some of us have a personality. We kind of nosy. We want to know what's going on. But we don't need to know what's going on in everybody's life. I had to learn that the hard way. Because sometimes you can't unhear something that you want to unhear. And so I learned as a pastor, you know, somebody comes to the altar and they want to share with me. I tell them, you don't have to share with me. Now, if you need to get it out, and you need to lay it on the altar, of course, tell me all, say all the details, but you're telling it to the Lord. You're not telling it to me. Because I really don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. I don't know what to do with it other than pray. Anyway, sometimes you need to get it outside of yourself. I understand that. And in those times when you need to get it outside of yourself, you say it. But then, you know, when I've come to the altar, I've dealt with people at the altar that I won't tell anybody, including my wife. I'll never tell anybody. And sometimes I'm praying the Lord help me to forget what they just said. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear all the details, the gory details of all of this information. And there have been many situations that There have been several situations that I've been in that was just too much information. Just, you gave me too much information. Yeah, we need to pray, but that's just too much information. I don't need to know that. So I've learned in my own life, in my own experience with others, you stay out of other people's business as much as you possibly can, and it'll make it easier for you. Yes. All right? It makes it easier for you. So Peter did not do that. Peter inserted himself into Jesus' trial. It was none of his business. He shouldn't have been there. He should have been where the other preachers were, or where the other disciples was, even though he thought he was there. He thought he was strong enough. Lord, help us here. Stay out of what does not concern you. And let me tell you something else. Sometimes we need to know when to leave something alone. Have you ever been in a situation that just went on and on and on and on until at some point emotions riled up and then all of a sudden we were in a row, whatever that was. Lord, help us. So there, I have had to learn how. And sometimes you got a good wife here, and she'll tell you, this is something you need to just drop. Don't say anything else about it, because you're going to go one more step. And you know what? Growing up in a household, I was the eighth of 11 children. And so growing up in a household, there were seven people that were bigger than me and could beat me up when I was young, right? They could, all of them. But I tussled with probably every one of them. And I learned at some point that, you know what, you can't beat up your brother. He's 10 years older than you. But you know what, you can't. I learned other things that we could do to get him, but I couldn't beat him up, right? And I learned that. I learned, you know what, there are some things that you know, just stop. He's getting ready to get you, buddy. You need to stop. And so you learn to stop so that you won't be in trouble. Not in trouble with mom and daddy, because we way somewhere out. Mom and daddy ain't going to hear about this till we get back home. He going to give me a good whipping right now, right? So you learn when to stop. And there are some times that what happens is when we go too much, you call him a name, or you do something to get back at him, make him upset at you. And before you know it, you have stuck your hand, you've stuck your finger in a hornet's nest. And then, and before you know it, you're the one that is hurting and you're upset about what everybody is doing. And now you have something against everybody because of what you did. You should have stopped way before you got there. Those bees sing. They sing. So you don't put your, whack a hornet's nest and try to see what's going to happen. You don't throw a rock at it either. You better be somewhere far away from that thing, because they're going to come straight at you. They know exactly where that came from, and they're coming straight at you. Right? And so that's what the devil does. The devil knows where you are. He knows that when you're whacking on something that doesn't pertain to you, he knows that he's going to come straight at you, because what you've done is just open yourself up for him to do whatever he wants to do, because you should have stopped while you were ahead. Have you ever heard somebody say that? You should have stopped while you... Have you ever said that to yourself? I should have stopped while I was ahead. And this problem that I'm experiencing right now, this failure, whatever it may be, this failure was because I didn't stop when I was ahead. Lord, help us. Can you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Lord, help us. All right. Now, know when to quit. Know when to quit. Peter fell, but he was not a failure. We don't remember Peter by just this that happened, that he denied the Lord 3 times. You know what the Lord did? The Lord looked at him. What did Peter do? Peter went out and wept. All right. Now I want to read another scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Goes along with this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12.
Wherefore?
Now, wait. Let's read the 11th verse. It says, now all these things happen unto them.
For example.
So in other words, the Lord allows all these things in the Bible. These are what we really are looking at when you look at the Bible. They're vignettes of people's lives. And we could really replace Peter's name with our name, because some of us have personalities like Peter. And some of us would have done the exact same thing that Peter did, right? That personality didn't die with Peter. That personality is still just as alive today as it ever was. And so... So all these things were examples. This is talking about the children of Israel here, but I want to relate it to everything that's happened in the Bible. Everything that we read in the Bible is all these things happen unto them for examples.
They are written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So they're written for our admonition. We learn from other people's mistake. There's no reason for me to make the same mistakes that you made. If you give me instruction of what happened, then I should have enough sense to say, okay, you know, if that happened to you, chances are it's going to happen to me like that too. Now, most of us are so overconfident in our ability that we think, well, you know, the reason it happened to you is because you didn't, you weren't, oh, you're just as smart as me. I'm just as smart as you. It happened because that's what happens when people do that kind of a thing. Yeah. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter how tall or how smart or how unsmart you are. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. All right, read.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls.
There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, what was Peter's way of escape? Is to not have gone to that particular place at that particular time. The Lord was giving him ample opportunity. Have the Lord ever told you something, don't do this, and you just kind of did it anyway? You did it anyway. You kind of had that feeling that you might should stop and might not do this particular thing, but you did it anyway, and it became a disaster. Lord, help us to know how to listen to those little checks that the Lord gives us. That we can stop when the Lord tells us to stop, or don't go any further. When the Lord says stop, then we need to stop there, right? And here's Peter. He says here, now he said, now, It was done for our example, and it says, wherefore he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's what happened to Peter. Peter thought he was strong enough to be able to deal with this particular thing, but he failed, didn't he? Because he thought he was stronger. So this is what it says. Wherefore let him that thinketh, you have it in your mind, intellectually. You know what happens in our mind? There's something that happens in our mind that we have, and it's an environment that's a control. Our mental state is in a controlled environment, right? Yeah. It's controlled. We control it. We control all the what ifs, and we have all these ideas that roll around in our minds, and we say in our minds, in this little laboratory of our minds, and we say, all right, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. Well, if they say this, this is what I'm going to say. And if this is what they do, then I'm going to go this way. We have it all controlled. We have all kinds of scenarios that we play out in our minds, right? And we think that we have it all done. But what happens is when we're in the situation, there is something that we didn't take into consideration. There's some point that we missed. And what happens, we thought we could stand in this. Well, if it happened in the scenarios that I thought it would happen, then yeah, I would have been able to stand. But this is a scenario that I didn't even take into consideration. And so now what happens, I thought I was going to be able to stand, but I didn't. And this is what Peter did in his mind. I'm going to follow far off. I'm going to be far enough away to see what's happening, but I'm not going to be involved. And he happened to warming up his hand, and they say, you're with him too. How could he have, how could he have imagined that this woman would notice him and identify who he is? He didn't even have that in this laboratory of his mind, that he thought he could stand if he's just out of the way. He doesn't say anything, but he's watching from afar off. But now they've connected him. Not only is he afar, he's not afar off anymore. That woman connected him to that Jesus over there that we're looking at and we're all kind of curious about. You're one of them too, aren't you? I don't know him. That was not what he expected to say in his mind. I'm ready to go with you even to prison. I'm ready to go with you to death. But now you're connected to him. Now what are you going to do? Lord, have mercy on us, right? We thought we could do it. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest you fall. That's what's going to happen. When you think that you can stand, you better watch it, because that's when you're setting yourself up for failure. And oftentimes we do that. He says that there's no temptation that's taking you but such as is common. You think that your little problems are unique to you? Do I think my problem? Oh, I've got them too. I mean, we go through hard things, don't we? All of us do. There's not a person here that hasn't gone through something so difficult. I don't care how old or how young you are. You've gone through a difficult thing. You've got problems. If you're a person, you've got problems. All right? Now, your temptations, no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. So your problem is not unique. Well, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, you're not. You might be the only one you know that's going through that, but I guarantee you somebody else has gone through it. People have gone through whatever you're going through with the level of victory that God gives them. God can give them. People have gone through it with victory. And people have failed. People have said, you know, I'm not going to let these people take advantage of me. We get to those points. Have you ever said that? Oh, no, he didn't. We don't say it out loud. We say, oh, no, he didn't. He thinks that's what he's going to do, but he ain't going to do that to me. Have we said those kinds of things? All of us have. Haven't we? We may not say it out loud to the people, but we say it to ourselves. And we said, take one more step. You do that one more time. You got one more time to do that. We do those kinds of things, don't we? Lord, help us. Because in those kinds of things, that's what we set ourselves up. We think that my problems are I'm the only one having these problems. No, I'm not.
True.
All of us have it. Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation, will always make a way of escape. Let me tell you, the best way, you know what the best way of escape is? Humility. Oh, that's hard. And that's one of the hardest things to do. To get down on your face. Taste of dirt. That's hard. Especially when I thought, you know what the scripture says, only by pride cometh contention. And the only way that we have contention is that there's something in me. I'm proud and I don't want to get down. I don't want to. I'm not going to taste the dirt here. He said he'll always make a way of escape. And the way of escape in almost every situation, when we get ourselves into trouble, almost every situation, at least it's been from my own experience, almost every situation I get into that I've found, if I go humble, I humble low, then the Lord finds there's a little door, there's a little trap door. You know how the little dogs have that little door? You might have to squeeze through it, but there's a little trap door. I'm going to get myself out of this by the help and the grace of God. Yeah, I got to crawl. Yeah, I got to get dirty, but that's all right. I'd rather do that than lose out and fail the Lord. I don't want to fail him because I don't know when heaven is. It might just be around the corner. I can't afford it. I can't afford to backslide. I can't afford to backslide because somebody made me upset. How dare they? Lord, help us. All right. Y'all with me still? All right. Okay. Now, sometimes you ever heard somebody, don't outrun your headlights. You ever heard people say that? Somebody getting in there, oh, you need to slow down. I learned that. I learned in, when I was young in the ministry. There was something that the ministers told me. They said, okay, now you're in the ministry. He said, don't go poking your nose into every situation, every problem in the church. So that's what they told me. He said, stay out of them. And you know what I did? I learned to stay out of them. And you know what? I learned that enough of them would come to me anyway. I didn't have to go look for them. They're going to come. And that's what I learned. And so I thought, you know what? If I don't have to touch it, I ain't going to touch it. I'm not going to dig into it. I'm not going to overrun. I'm not going to be so confident that I overrun my headlights. Take your time. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. All right, let's go a little further. Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3.
And not only so,
but the glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience,
and patience experience,
and experience hope,
and hope
maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right, so first of all, it says, and patience experience. Tribulation, then we're talking about trials, we're talking about tests, we're talking about things that we go through. All of us have hard places that we go through, and it says, tribulation works patience, and sometimes we can't get out of things as quickly as we want to get out of them. Sometimes the trials and the tests in our lives don't dissipate as quickly as we wish they would. And so we got to just wait on the Lord. Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen to me like this? Why are you allowing me to go through these kinds of things? And the Lord tells us, well, maybe sometimes he does. Maybe sometimes he doesn't tell us why we're doing, but we're going to have to wait on him. Tribulations work at patience. Patience experience. And let me tell you, this is what I want to talk about. Experience. There are the trials that we go through give us the experience that we need. The experience that the Lord, we talked about it this morning. The brothers talked about it today. We have experience now that the Lord will provide our need. If we go to him and we have a monetary need, the Lord can provide it, can he? Yeah. We know that because of what he's done for us here in this congregation. The Lord can do that for us beyond our expectation. This brother is talking about praying for those that once worshiped with us and all of that. The Lord, brother, is praying for it. It's a big prayer request, and it is beyond anything that we can even. But God can do that.
Yes,
God can do it if we trust him, and we learn that from what experience. We learn that from the experience that the Lord has taken us through. And so in these kinds of failures that Peter had, Peter learned from experience. Peter didn't have that again. He didn't go through those kind of things. He stood up, and on the day of Pentecost with the power of the Holy Ghost, and he was able to preach like no other preacher up to that time. Like no one. Maybe Jonah preached that way too. Maybe there were other preachers. I don't know, but he preached like he'd never preached before.
Yes.
You put it that way. May the Lord help us. All right? So, okay, so these trials and tests, one of the things the devil does, there's one scripture that talks about, he's as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast, and he talks about how the Lord wants to strengthen and settle and establish us, right? Well, the devil's desire is to devour us, and the Lord's desire is for that same trial, the same thing that we're dealing with, the same trial, the devil wants it to devour us, and the Lord wants it to establish us. That's what it did to Peter. The devil wanted to devour him, but I pray for you that your faith fails not, Peter. I pray for you that the roots go deeper and deeper and deeper, and from this failure, you have a greater level of faith in me, and this is what happened in Peter's case, right? That it established him, it settled him, it rooted him, it grounded him in the things of God. And from that point on, we never hear that Peter was a failure along those lines ever again, right? And the same way it could be for us, for you and me, all right? I'm moving toward the conclusion. Now, here's another one. The battle of Ai. You know what? There are many victories in the scriptures where there are corresponding failures. The battle of Ai. Remember that situation where Joshua? And then we're going to the battle of Ai. He sent some spies out there and he said, oh, it's just a small city. Just send a few people there. And when he sent a few people there and they got routed. They were just completely, several men lost their lives. And they were trying to, and what happened with Joshua? Joshua fell down on his face. before the Lord. He said, Lord, how is it, you know, what's going to be like when Israel turns their back against the enemy? Let me tell you, sometimes failures drive us to the Lord, doesn't it? Drive us to ask the Lord, Lord, why did I fail in this particular thing? I thought I was in a good place, Lord, and I failed. Why did I do that? And the Lord said, get up. There's sin in the camp. That's what he told him. He said, go and search out. And you know what? When we sin, when there is something hidden in our life, nobody else has to know it. No one knew what happened with Achan. Nobody knew that. Achan had hid that Babylonian's garment and that wedge of gold under his tent. Nobody knew about it. But let me tell you, it affected everybody. It affected the whole congregation. Hidden sin affects the whole congregation. Don't think it's just you. Oh, it's just me. I'm just dealing with it. No, it's not just you. It's everybody. It's your family. Lord, help us. And let me tell you, disobedience sets us up for failure. If we're disobedient to the Lord, it is a major cause of failure. What should have been an easy battle to win, they lost it because they were disobedient to what God had told them. Now, sometimes it makes no sense to us what God is telling us to do. But his ways are so far above our ways that we can't say that it doesn't make sense. You know, let me tell you another thing that doesn't make sense. The crucifixion. Do you think that the man died on a cross? And I'm saved today, and that make that make sense to me mentally? It doesn't. Because it's so far beyond us. So far beyond where we are. What our finite minds can comprehend. But I know it works. You know how I know it works? Because when I bow down at the feet of Jesus, I know that something happened. That the Lord changed me. I know that I have victory in my soul, not because I'm a good boy. I have victory in my soul because of what Jesus did. You know, I was a fairly good person. I mean, I didn't do a whole lot of things. My parents didn't have problems with it. But let me tell you, them is the worst kind. Because we do everything undercover. We don't tell you what we're doing. Right? Them good old boys ain't as good old boys as you thought they was. I could tell you about them because I was one. I needed the Lord to deliver me just like the one that is all out there. I needed the Lord to deliver me just like he did. Yes. And the Lord delivered me from that. Thank the Lord for that. All right, now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the upside. It says in the 7th verse of Joshua, when Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, and the elders of Israel and put dust on their head, they humbled themselves. They humbled themselves before the Lord, and the Lord did something for them. The Lord pointed out where the problem was. And they were willing to do something about it. You know what? They stoned Achan. And I find that this is very interesting to me, because if we put it in our society today, you would have to literally take a big rock and be close enough to literally where you hit another person. You hear the thud, you hear the moan, you hear the break of their bones or whatever. That seems like that's a horrible thing to do, doesn't it? But there was a purpose that the Lord did it for, because the Lord wanted them to understand that I don't want you to sympathize with these people because I don't sympathize with them. So we've got to be careful where our sympathies lie, don't we? Lord, help us. They destroyed them, and as a result, God blessed them to be able to go back out to Ai and destroy them in a way, just completely, utterly destroy them. All right? And the other thing that happened when Peter, on the 22nd chapter, 62nd verse of Luke, Where Peter denied him for the third time, and what happened? Jesus turned and looked at Peter, didn't he? For the sake of time, we don't have to turn to that, but you can do that. The Lord looked at Peter and said, "See, I told you, Peter. I told you were going to fail." And Peter remembered that. All that came back to his mind. Lord, I thought I was where I'm not. I wasn't where I thought I was. And he went out and he wept bitterly. So, failure has the power to motivate us. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe on a test in school you said, you know, you got an F because you didn't study? Yeah. You've been in those kinds of places, and then you say, you know, and they said, this is midterm. If you got your extra credit, you can do that. Remember how the teachers used to do all that kind of thing? You go and do that, and then you'll pass the test. And if you don't, you're going to have to take this whole year over. Now, what would you rather do? Motivate yourself to do a little bit more so you don't have to take the year over, right? Yeah. You don't have to take the course over. And so it motivates. And failure can be a motivating factor. It's not, I say it's bad, but I don't want to make it where it's all bad, where it's just no hope. We don't fall down and say, well, there's no hope. I just might as well give up because there's nothing else I can do. No, I can be motivated by the help and the grace of God that this will never happen to me again. Have you ever said that? Oh, that'll never happen to me again. I'll never allow myself to be put in a situation like that where that particular thing happens. Have you ever said that? I have. And you know what? It hasn't happened again. Why? Because I had a failure, whatever that failure may have been. Now, here I'm not necessarily talking about where I went back into sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about in a general sense, that motivates us, drives us. And then let me tell you what it does. It drives us to the Lord. It drives us to humble our heart. This is what it did with Peter. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Didn't it say bitterly or sorely? He went out and wept. What does it say? He went out and wept bitterly. Scripture says. He went out and wept bitterly. So he was sorry for what he had done. He had failed the Lord. He had known that he had failed the Lord. He had known that he had put himself in a situation that he shouldn't have put himself in. And as a result of that, he failed. Lord, help us. Help us not to put ourselves in a position, in a situation, and in circumstances that we shouldn't put ourselves in. Help us to examine our own lives. Help us to make certain that we are we're looking at it from the right perspective, that there's no disobedience in our lives. There's nothing that the devil has a right to that he can touch, that he can wreak havoc in my life. Let us examine our lives. We can do that so that we can be a success for the things of God. The Lord wants us to go to heaven. He's prayed that prayer. Not only has he prayed that prayer, you know how sometimes I'll be praying, no, and faith without works is dead. Not only did he pray, he went to the cross so that you can go to heaven. Don't let anything take you. Let no man, somebody you upset it, let no man take your crown. Pray for me.
This is a song connected to the message. We have